Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome to episode 38 of the Depressed Breakfast Club, or better yet, DBC. This week, we have a special guest with us. I'm going to let Taylor introduce her, so I won't tell you nothing else. Let's just say, again, we're not medical professionals. We laugh too much to be. Don't listen to us. Don't listen to our advice. Seek medical help if you have mental issues. And if you're feeling really depressed, Joyelle's going to give you some numbers.
Okay, so if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, you can call the suicide hotline in Canada at 1-833-456-4566. Or you can text 45645. And in the U.S., you can call 988. Or you can text TALK to 741-741. So if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, please reach out. And on to Taylor.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday morning. As always, our email address is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. For our weekly quote, it's going to be, let's see if I can actually say this right this time. I'm not going to sacrifice my mental health to have the perfect body.
Yeah,
I did it. I did it. I'm a big girl now. So this week's episode is actually going to be based around body image and body shaming. So it's something that I know the three of us have kind of touched on time and time again. But I actually have one of my favorite people here today on the episode. She is the biggest cheerleader I think I've ever met for people in her life. And she is like, I compare her to Jamie Lee Curtis, and how like Jamie Lee is the one who's like, yeah, my friend did it. Yeah. That is 100% Amy. Like, she has been our cheerleader since before the first episode even came out. I told her about it. She's like, that's amazing. You're so great. Do it. So she's really like, anytime that you're kind of having that self-doubt, she's like, you will not self-doubt. And just like lifts you up out of the mud and just like throws you onto the high ground. It's like, you're amazing. There is no other way. So she's going to share a little bit about some of her stories and stuff that she struggled with, because I'll let her kind of... because she's, her and I have talked about it, I was going to say behind the scenes, but like behind the scenes about stuff that she struggled with because of her career choices, and she's awesome and amazing, and now I'll let Amy kind of give some of the details.
For having me, very nice to meet everybody. Yep, my name is Amy, and I am based out of Boston, so I am not in Canada, unfortunately, although I dream. Truly. I am a licensed physical personal trainer. I am a mobility specialist. I also dance professionally, and I'm certified more specifically with injury prevention and prenatal postpartum care. And my biggest inspiration for my careers in movement and wellness is to just have people feel better about themselves without the stigma around body image or any sort of negativity. We're all about supporting just feeling better about yourself and not necessarily what you look like.
Hey, hun, just move the, I'm assuming that it's the mic that I see there. Just move that a little bit closer to you, or you closer to, I didn't realize you were in a chair.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. Okay. So perfect. So, okay. So there were a couple things I didn't actually know all of the background stuff that you had. So that's actually interesting for all of it.
Love dancing. I love watching. I just watched Derek Huff and Julianne Huff do the movies or something. They had a special on. And that, I love watching dancing. It's like amazing people.
I just learned another new thing. I didn't know Peanut liked dancing.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love watching.
I'm out of the dancing part.
Yep, dancing, like I Dancing with the Stars and all that, and that So You Think You Can Dance, and oh my god, I just love those shows. I love anything that has dancing in it.
I was on that, actually.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I got I was on So You Think You Can Dance. I didn't make it to Vegas, but I auditioned and got on. Yeah, you won't see me because I was one of the auditions, but yeah, I was on the show.
Oh my god, that's so awesome. I loved So You loved that show.
There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes you would be surprised to learn about that, or maybe not if you know reality TV, but overall, at least it's bringing awareness to movement and supporting the arts, even if it is a little more commercialized, which not everyone does the splits, but you know, it's representation, right? So we'll take it when we get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people, like, it's just, it's so amazing, like what your body can actually do in that.
I think one of the things I love the most about dance, as hearing Joyelle just get so excited talking about it, is dance is supposed to be accessible. I've had the pleasure of performing with women between the ages of like 5, and I'm currently dancing with a company and the oldest is in their 80s.
Holy crap.
I've worked with people who have Parkinson's who still dance, Alzheimer's, you name it. So dance can be for anybody and any person. If you have the will and you have the interest in wanting to move, anybody can do it. There's nothing stopping you.
Always wanted to take a ballroom dancing class. It interests me so much.
I was going
to
say,
will you? Because I said nobody ever wants to be my partner.
I'll come. I'll come up.
I have no rhythm. I'm white.
I got two new knees. Let's do this.
I will come too. It's fine.
And he says, let's go.
We will have no rhythm, but we will be having fun. That's all that matters.
Yeah. But that's what it's about, is going to learn, and they'll teach you. So like they expect you to come in with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 700 left feet, whatever you got, you know.
How many left feet do you have? All of them. All of them.
There's actually all of them and like, more. I think a block over, there's like a dance place in here in Amherstburg.
We'll look into it, Pina, because we will go with you.
Oh, I'd love to do it. Love it.
Is that the place by the yoga studio?
Oh. I'm not sure. It's by the old Tim Hortons.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I went the other way.
Yeah. I think there might be. There actually might be two now, but.
It's hot yoga.
All yoga is hot.
Not true, actually.
All sweaty.
Exactly. The moment where you're trying to do something, you're like, okay, lean back.
Okay, yep. I'm out. The boobs got me.
That's actually true.
Mm-hmm. So, now that we know, I'm sorry,
I interrupted. I just could just say, because I do. I love dance, and it's just, like, awesome that you're a dancer.
And that's, I would say, honestly, I think that's the most excited I've heard Pina get about anything in I don't know how long. So I think that's awesome.
That and figure skating. I would have loved to have been a figure skater.
Me too. Okay,
that I will just cheer from the side for, because I can't skate, period.
Oh, are you serious?
Dana's like,
I'm the worst Canadian ever.
Can't skate.
We had a pond, right? Like, we stepped out our back door and it was like 20 feet away. And so every winter we would like skate on the pond and stuff.
Yeah, no, so I don't know how to
skate, but I don't know how to figure skate, but I don't want to skate.
Yeah, I would just be crawling on the ice going, yay, look at me go.
I can go forward and backwards.
Oh, goddamn.
Wow, Peanut, the show off.
She really is the talent, as it turns out. Yeah.
Taylor, we'll just give you a traffic cone or a milk crate. That's how all the children learn.
Skate, buddy. Whee!
I'll still find a way to fall flat on my ass. I just know it.
That's why we'll pad you up.
Pillows all over the entire body. I'm ready. Well.
Of course I fell.
Yeah, problem is now that we're getting older, it's you fall and you just don't come back up.
Yeah. Just break a hip.
Oh!
What happened? You don't bounce back as much.
It is interesting because ice is one of the most debilitating, like, natural things out there. So, like, mm-hmm. when people come to me after falling on the ice, they're like, "Why? What could I have done differently?" I'm like, nothing. Ice is terrible. It will take anybody down. It doesn't care what you look like, how strong you are, what age you are.
It You're doesn't going care. Down. It doesn't discriminate in any way, shape, or form. It's like, I will take you to your knees and crack them open.
So as a mobility specialist, you work with people that have had surgeries and whatnot?
Yeah, so I'm going to clarify, I'm not a physical therapist because I don't have my doctorate. I've thought about going back for it, but it's a lot of work and I don't want to deal with insurance companies. That's a whole nother discussion. But I love to partner with physical therapists at hospitals as like the kind of the transition from rehabilitation to back to like functionality. So usually after someone gets discharged from PT for like, let's say knee, hip replacement, shoulder, and they want to get back into movement, whether it be strength training or just overall functional movement, like being able to pick something up overhead, like, you know, more than 5 pounds, they come to me and I help build them a program to feel better and feel stronger just to get through their daily activities or whatever goal they have in mind, whether it be fitness oriented or just I want to be comfortable to squat down on the toilet and go to the bathroom and feel okay to do that. I can help them with that.
All right.
So you and I have talked about it before, but what are some of the issues that you've run into? Because obviously you've done the physical training. You're also the dancer. What are some of the things that you've run into for like the body shaming aspect of it?
Yeah, first off, I think that body shaming is present in both male and female environments. And I'm putting that out there because it's so, while yes, women get hit really hard with it. We can all agree with that here. Science studies can show that. I can list them out the butt. Men also deal with like disorderly eating, body image issues. So when I talk about these issues, I'm referring to both parties, although of course more exclusively in women. I think the number one thing I hear is I want to lose weight. I don't look the way I should, or you know, social media is telling me that I need to look like this. So what can we do to make me lose weight? The big zinger words are like weight loss, toning. I'm sure you've all heard that.
Yes.
Toning, fat burn, build your booty, sculpting, which I try to avoid using all of those words in my vernacular when I'm coaching people, just because I work a lot of disorderly eating and people recovering from that. So like we don't work out with mirrors. We have to try to reframe the conversation about looking at our bodies. So if someone's coming to me and they want to feel better, that's a great way to approach it. And I can understand that maybe weight loss might be a response to that. Like it might happen just because you're moving more, but I don't want people to be like, okay, well, we did really great this week. How much weight did we lose? Like, what do we look like now? And it's like, no. How do your joints feel? Are you feeling like you're less winded to go on a walk? How does it feel to pick up your child today? So it's just like taking the goals people have and kind of reworking them in a manner to be a little bit more body neutral, a little bit more just self-supporting, as opposed to like, I guess, fitting the eye of like these stupid images that we have to live up to that are just completely non-existent. But number one is definitely body weight. Sorry, it was a ramble. But
that's okay.
You get on those soapboxes. We do it all the time.
And you know, it's funny because like all my life, like I've like not my whole life, but I've had issues with weight. I have like underactive thyroid and polycystic and stuff. And my doctor, like all my life when I went to my doctor, it'd be like, okay, like, I don't eat this and I don't eat that and I hardly eat any junk food and I don't eat bread because I'm not a big bread eater and I don't eat a lot to begin with. And it's like they don't believe me. And it's like everything that I go in for, like, you know, oh, my stomach's bothering me, or even with the polycystic, it's like, oh, if you lose weight. And like now I switched to a brand new doctor, and since I've been with him, he hasn't mentioned a single thing about my weight throughout, like, all the issues that I'm having. And that, and I kind of mentioned something, and he's like, I don't really go, he goes, by your weight. He goes, I go by how you feel. So instead of being like, oh, you know, you have this because of your weight, like, or it's caused because your weight, it's like he goes by how I'm feeling instead of rather what I'm weighing. So that's kind of a nice change for that. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I need to lose weight, but
I think it's that's the way it should be done, just because so many people have that misconception that, okay, just because Sonia, I don't know, I'm picking her, and my friend's gonna hear that and be like, what the fuck? But say Sonia is whatever, 100 pounds soaking wet, and then you have Betty Sue over here, I'm using now someone I don't even have a name for, Betty Sue over here at 250 pounds. Just because she's 250 doesn't mean that she's actually not in a healthy shape. Like, so many people think that, okay, skinny is healthy, and it's not. Some of the sickest people in the world that you'll find are skinny people. Because I can remember when I was 16 to 18, I worked at Kerr's Gym for Women and had to work through with all the women, like, okay, this is what's going on. They'd come in, they'd do their weigh and measure every month to see how things were. Some people would have huge losses, some would stay the same, all that kind of stuff. And I was trying to reconfigure their brain to be like, okay, just because you see Amy coming in and she's the size of a twig, because there was one girl who, she was about the size of a twig, but had all of it was just fat on her bones. It wasn't actual muscle mass. So she would get onto the equipment and she would be winded after 5 seconds of trying to do the squat machine or do the hip abductor adductor. And they were like, well, yeah, but look how skinny she is. Like, yes, but just because she's skinny doesn't mean that she's actually healthy. She's in far worse shape than you are at the heavier weight because she had no muscle mass to her. Her cardio was horrible. She would get onto the walking pads and be huffing and puffing within, again, 5 to 10 seconds of being on there.
Damn.
And she was just like, oh my God, I didn't know I was in such bad shape. I'm like, it's because your metabolism's high. It takes care of the food. It doesn't stay on you per se, but you have no cardio and no muscles whatsoever in there.
Yeah, like, that's the thing I hate. You could have two people, like you said, one, say, heavier, one really skinny, and they say both could just say their shoulder hurts. I'm just going with example. And I feel like my doctor would be like, okay, your shoulder, we're going to actually look to see why your shoulder hurts on the skinny person, and then the heavier person are going to be lose weight and your shoulder won't hurt.
It's, well, 100% true.
I faced that when my knee started bugging me. So I was 33 years old. And I went to go in the house off the deck. And I don't know what I did. But I go to open the screen door and I'm like, oh my God. I felt something tear. And I couldn't put pressure on my leg. I had literally torn my meniscus walking across the deck. When I went to the doctor, he sent me for x-rays. Says, oh, you've got a little bit of arthritis. If you lose some weight, you'll be okay. Okay. Let's fast forward. I'm 45 years old and I can barely walk. Say to my doctor, listen, the pain is excruciating. And he says, if you lose some weight, you'll be able, the pain will go away. I'm done. Like, I'm done at this point. Fuck you, you old fucker. I'm going to get a new doctor. So I get a new doctor. My first visit with him, I say, Dr. Biswa, my knees are killing me. Have you ever seen an orthopedic surgeon? No, why would I? He's like, well, looking at your chart, he goes, you got really bad arthritis in both knees. Never had been told that by my previous doctor. So I'm like, okay, I go, well, let's go. So I started seeing Dr. Pepin. And Dr. Pepin was doing Monovisc injections into my knee, which is a plant-based gel to separate your bones. It's supposed to last 6 months. It's $900 a shot. Not covered under Sun Life, by the way, ladies.
Sounds painful, too.
Oh, it's a big, huge
needle. You got to go to the hospital. They won't do it in the office. Oh. You have to go to the hospital to have it done. So they're supposed to last 6 months. I'm getting like three and a half months max. So I go back to Dr. Biswa and I tell him, he's like, have you told Dr. Pepin? I'm like, yeah, he just wants me to keep going for more shots. He goes, no, he goes, you can't have that stuff injected into you more than twice a year. He goes, like, your body can't break it down. So he's like, I'm going to send you to another orthopedic. He sends me to Dr. JC. I see Dr. JC at 49 years old. 48, pardon me. And he looks at my x-rays and he says, okay, I'm going to send you for my own x-rays. I want to see today. I go downstairs, have the x-rays. I come back upstairs. I'm sitting there waiting. La, 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 right? He comes in. He looks at the x-rays. Turns and he looks at me, looks back at the x-rays, turns and looks at me again and goes, how the fuck are you walking? I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, your right knee, he goes, your bone on bone. He goes, and it's so bad, your other bone's starting to crack. He goes, you need a knee replacement. He goes, how long have you been in pain? I'm like, 12 years. But it's you have those old school doctors that mm-hmm. say to you, lose weight, lose weight, lose weight. And I had a real issue that could have been fixed and I could have had 12 years of my life pain free. But because my doctor, lose weight, lose weight, lose weight. Like if I had a sore throat, oh, it's because you're fat.
Yep.
If I slammed my finger in the car door and I broke it, it was because I was fat. Like,
yep.
Everything was because I was overweight. And I looked at my chart one day before they went electronic. And literally, son of a bitch was this thick. And literally, every time I had gone to him, he literally put obese.
And it just, like, it's bad enough. It's bad enough that in society, because we have all of the perfect bodied women, supposedly, who are horribly airbrushed in all the magazines, and you have like that body shaming angle of it, and then it trickles down into, okay, then you just have random people on the street saying, oh my God, you're so fat as you walk by, ha 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 ha. And then you have the fucking medical professionals who undermine everything, where it's like, okay, you all need better educations. If you think that the answer is always to lose weight, it's not. Like that right there, it's like, okay, for over a decade, you were suffering in pain because your doctor was too much of an idiot to go, you know what? She might actually have some deterioration or something going on in there that I might need to fix. You could have been sent to someone like Amy who could have said, hey, here are some ways to help make your living a little bit easier. We'll get you all taken care of. You get the surgery done. We'll retrain everything. Don't worry. You've got this. And it had zero to do with the weight at that point.
I literally have 7 knee braces. 7 knee braces that if I was to add up what I paid for all of them, I could probably go to the Maldives for a month. Everything was, well, wear a brace, lose some weight, wear a brace, lose some weight. When I went to Dr. JC, now he's replaced both my knees. He never once said anything about my weight.
I add on to that, Joya. Sorry, Dana. I was staring at Joya's beautiful backdrop photo, but I was listening to Dana. Sorry. I just cycling back. I hope this is appropriate to add in here, but I just had a talk with my husband about this the other day with doctors. The bigger issue too is staying within your scope of practice. And what happens now is you have your general care, your PCP, primary care, whatever you call it. And they're like the Jane or Jack of all trades, whatever.
Yes. But
the problem is that none of them are certified, like registered dietitians. Mm-hmm. Your PCP is probably not an orthopedic surgeon or a GI specialist, or I'm trying to think of other things that would be applicable, a shoulder specialist, whatever. So we're seeing more and more of an issue now where there's like weight loss, wait. It's like, oh, okay, are you actually specializing in RD? Because if not, he should be referring you out. So if it was an actual genuine concern of weight, not that it should have been, but if it had it been an actual weight issue, let's say it was for some reason, they should have been like, you know what, I'm going to refer you to someone. I'm not sure 100%, but if you feel comfortable, I'm going to send you to this person. Mm-hmm. The person looking at your knee who took the x-ray the first time, I think it might have been your PCP or your general provider.
Yeah.
They should have, instead of even opening their mouth about the weight, they should have been like, you know what, there's something going on here in the knee. I'm going to send you to someone who specializes in knees. And I think that doctors, just because you have an MD by your name, it does not mean that you are qualified to be discussing certain matters in great detail. So I bring this up because, like you said, your issue could have been resolved if you had just gone to the right person from the get-go rather than someone trying to overextend beyond their limits. And I think that is the same with body shaming and body image issues. It's like, stay within your scope of practice, because otherwise you're creating more problems, more financial issues for your patients.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. And my new doctor and Taylor, and you might probably know this already because you listen. So I am on a pathway to lose weight. And when I went to my GP and said, listen, I've tried everything, nothing's working, I need help, he said, okay, I'll send a referral to the bariatric center at the hospital. He goes, and you can go talk to a dietitian right off the hop. Now, if that had been my old doctor, he literally would have said to me, join a gym. Instead of saying, go to a professional and learn about nutrition and how to eat properly, he would have said, join the gym, and the gym wouldn't have done me any fucking good because I wouldn't have gone.
Yep.
And this is where body image issues start and continue to fester and grow, period.
I went to, for my polycystic, they referred me to an endocrinologist. And so I went to this endocrinologist, and he came in and he did not examine me. He just kind of looked at me, looked at my blood work. You have an underactive thyroid. Here's some thyroid medication. He didn't ask any questions about like my diet or anything like that. Eat half of what you're eating now, and you'll lose the weight and everything will straighten out. That is what the endocrinologist told me. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
If I can, Joyelle. So Joyelle and Taylor know my daughter. My daughter will be 25 in 15 days. Oh. You guys have seen her. Mm-hmm. Her weight fluctuates between 103 and 107 pounds. Mm. And she eats like a football player. Like she's got an enormous appetite. But she eats very healthy. She's like, she'll go vegetarian, raw veggies, the whole nine yards. She has PCOS. And the same thing, Joyelle, when she was referred to the doctor to see about it, it's a female doctor, and I don't know her name, but she's on Howard, or not Howard, on McDougal somewhere.
Well, I remember the name of my doctor, because he was not impressive.
And her doctor said the same sing.
He told me you could even overeat on a salad. He goes, you can even, he's like, so like half of a salad, half of what you're eating.
Well, Sam was 15 when she was diagnosed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, because of what that doctor said to Sam, her eating became very, very unnatural. She would not eat and then gorge. She wasn't binging and purging, but she wouldn't eat and then she'd eat too much.
Yep.
So she started having a very unhealthy relationship with food. It's sad because here she is. She's 20, almost 25 years old. She's beautiful beyond words, and she has to go to BANA, which is the Bulimic and Anorexic Nervosa Association in Windsor, to seek counseling to learn how to eat properly because of that doctor. I'm sorry, but if you have PCOS, you don't go to an endocrinologist. You go to a gynecologist because those are the parts they work with.
I have a question. Did they ever run, so I hope it's okay to ask, did they ever run a metabolic test on her?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they,
at least they did that right.
And it wasn't until she started going to BANA. They're the ones that started sending her for extended testing.
As an anorexia survivor, I understand, or a disorderly eater, we'll call it, because it's such a broad umbrella.
Yeah,
I totally feel, and I was about your daughter's age when I was struggling with similar issues. Different context, different body, of course, but it's really, really hard to get really good treatment, but also we love to just blanket everybody into one category, like, because that's just how everyone should be treated, I guess. I don't know. I don't agree with that, obviously, but like, it sucks too that the experiences your daughter had because of poor body shaming, body image issues with doctors is like putting her now to get all this treatment that could have unnecessarily, again, been avoided if she had just gotten the support she needed in a more healthy and, I don't like the word healthy, sorry, a more supportive environment.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's the hard thing, is trying to find the right wording for things where it's not every even necessarily, it's not even that they're incorrect words per se when we use them. It's just there's such a taint to them now that you can't use them properly, where it's like, yes, you do want to say healthy. Like, even when I say that I want to lose weight or something like that, and oh my God, people with the damn thing, when you say that that you want to lose weight and that, oh yeah, you know, I'm fat, I just want to lose some of the weight, and the people come back every damn time, they're like, no, you're beautiful. It's like, no, goddamn it. They are not mutually exclusive. I am fat. There is no doubt whatsoever about that. However, I am beautiful. I am fucking gorgeous. I'm sexy. I'm all of these things. But I still need to lose weight and be healthier with it. When I try to explain it to people, it's like, no, I need it to be healthier so that my back doesn't hurt as much, my knees don't hurt as much, because they're taking the heavier impact from it.
See, so Taylor, that's when I like to work with clients. People who say to me, I want to lose weight because I want to be thin, or I want to look like, I don't know, supermodel, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, get out of here. I don't probably want to work with you.
Yeah.
Because fortunately, I'm at a place in my career where I can pick and choose who I'm working with. But if someone comes to me and says, listen, I have a history of disorderly eating, but I'm coming from this from a much healthier place. I have a really great team. I have a great therapist. I have a great RD I'm working with. And they've encouraged me to lose weight because I want to feel better, that my joints don't hurt, to do activities that I enjoy, like, I don't know, rock climbing or hiking or going for a run. I'm like, yes, okay. And even still, we don't have to hyper fixate for yourself even. You don't have to hyper fixate on the weight loss piece. It'll just happen because you're moving and doing things that make you happy, whatever that means for exercise. Because that's the other thing too. Sorry, I was going to mention is, like, if you ever work out, people, I have clients who will be like, I only took like a 30 to 45 minute walk today. Does that count as exercise? I'm like, absolutely. It's a huge thing. You didn't have to like go to the gym and slam a weight around to like get your workout in. So
I think that's one of the other things, again, one of those big misconceptions that people have is that they think you have to go and work out 3 hours a day, 7 days a week in order to lose the weight and all that. It's like, that's not, you don't even have to do that. All you have to do is be active, especially if you live a sedentary, if you have a sedentary job or a sedentary lifestyle, you don't even have to do that much. You can sit on your couch, buy one of those stationary little foot pedals and just sit there watching TV and do the stationary little foot pedal for 5-10 minutes. It doesn't even have to be anything big. It's just about getting that motion and getting the movement going that's different.
I feel like you're picking on me, Crispy.
You're being judged.
The lifestyle part of it.
We share the same lifestyle. What are you doing?
Welcome back, sloth. Peanut, by the way.
Welcome back. Thanks.
She had enough.
Peanut left us for a few minutes there.
She's like, I can't take this anymore. It's too close to home. I'm leaving.
I'm out.
So I don't work, Amy. After I had my knees replaced, my place of business felt that I would be better off retired. And it's fine.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, though.
Oh yeah. No, it's okay. I'm not a very physical person. I don't get out and walk 30 miles a day type thing. I have a stationary bike at home and I put the TV on and I pedal my ass off for about an hour. Okay, I'm done. My knees will tell me it's time to stop. And then I go and I sit on the couch and I put on like true crime documentaries on Netflix and I cross stitch. So I felt like Taylor was picking on me. But I do ride my bike and I try to do it every day. If I miss a day, it's probably because I'm either tired or grouchy because I don't like to exercise when I'm miserable.
That's honestly another thing that, since you brought it up, I'll point it out, is that it's one of those like catch-22s, because I am a sloth. That is what my mom and I say. Like, we are master sloths. I will curl up on the couch, I will nest, and I will just watch TV all day and be happy just to binge watch something.
Oh God, yes.
Do that, play on my phone, do a coloring book, whatever. And then it's that evil, like there's that evil battle that goes on in your head where you're like, oh, I should really get up. I should just do the 10 minutes on the elliptical because I know that I need to. It's good for my body and it's good for my mental health because it does release all of the happy hormones in your head and it helps you sleep better and all these other things. And then you get mad at the fact that it has all those happy effects and you're like, why are you not easier to do? Why can't I just lay here and have it happen? Like, someone come move my legs for me. Let's go.
Or you fall into the habit of having those sloth days where you're wrapped up in a blanket, especially in the winter. You're wrapped up in a blanket, you're drinking cocoa or whatever, eating popcorn, watching all the movies, and your husband looks at you and says, what are we doing for dinner? And you're like, order a fucking pizza. Like, I was busy today.
Do you not see how I've been doing this? I'm almost done the series. Be proud.
You get into that bad habit of not cooking, and then you're ordering out. And anybody knows, you order food, you're not ordering the healthiest of choices. No. Like, you know, you're going for the Chinese, the pizza, the Italian, whatever. And sodium, MSG.
You're like, well, I'm already going to be eating out. I might as well have the bad stuff that tastes really, really good. The Italian cheese bread from Pizza Little Caesars.
It's very
Taco
good.
Taco Bell.
Have you ever had Piccolo's?
Yeah.
On Tecumseh Road.
We were just talking about that.
They're garlic knots. Have you ever had their garlic knots?
I've never eaten there.
So let me tell you about these garlic knots, Amy. It's like dough that they've tied into a knot.
Oh, I know garlic knots.
And they've baked it, and then they've melted a pound of butter with about 5 cloves of garlic, and they just dumped it over the bread.
Yep.
And they serve it to you that way, so all this butter and garlic is at the bottom of the bowl, and you literally want to drink it when you're done.
So we're going to have to do a garlic knot taste-off, because I'm from Long Island, so...
I'm from Long Island?
We know our garlic knot, so we'll have to compare, but the more... butterier and the garlickier they are, the better they are.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Garlic, more butter.
See, that when I do my road trip to go down to see Amy, I'll bring you with me, and then we'll just all just go eat garlic knots.
Absolutely, because you know how close Boston is to Maine?
I can show you all around Maine, too. I know all the food there.
Me and Peanut can go to Stephen King's house.
Yeah, yes. And I'll take you for lobster rolls after.
Oh.
No lobster.
Sorry, I'll take you for... That's okay. There's some really good food down there. I'll take you for some good pizza.
I'll eat the bun with mayonnaise, though.
Also a great choice. Extra mayo, please.
Yeah, what are you doing? Make sure that shit is just sopping out. That's what I want.
Can I put some mayo on my mayo?
It's perfect. But
my
to go
mayo
back,
isn't mayo-y enough.
To go back where you were saying about both of you, all three of you were talking about like making these habits or like, I just want to be a sloth all day. I'm really good at it. I'm also very good at being a sloth. I heard a really interesting, you're going to cringe and laugh at this. I heard a really interesting way of describing creating a realistic routine. Someone's like, okay, hear this out. I brush my teeth really, really, really good, very meticulously and thoroughly for 1 hour once a week. I do everything right. No, just stay with me. I do everything right. I do all the things. It's amazing. I do it, but I only do it once a week.
That's
and then
disgusting.
You have, we're getting somewhere. I swear. This isn't about oral hygiene.
We're like, oh no, this is going to go really well.
No. And then, okay. So that's one person. And then you have the second person who brushes their teeth every day, does maybe, 5 to 10 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes, whatever, does maybe not as thorough of a job, but consistency.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I think about exercise. I would rather do something small, 15 minutes a day, a couple days a week, than 1 hour a week of training and like not seeing any results. And like people assume because I'm a personal trainer, I'm a dancer. Wow, you must be in great shape. Do you work out like all the time and do you like do all the things? And the reality of the situation is like I think people think that I'm working out when I'm training my clients. But I'm not. I'm sitting there helping them. Like people are like, wow, you're training like 10 hours a day. Are you just working out? I'm like, no, watching my person do their thing so they don't hurt themselves. But my most sustainable practice, and I think a lot of trainers or movement educators, I should say, would agree that my most successful movement practices are no more than 20 to 30 minutes. And if I try to do anything more than that, I want to go sloth like on the couch or like I get into unhealthy habits where I'm like, all right, well, I worked out an hour yesterday and now my legs are gassed and I don't want to work out for 3 days.
Yep.
So smaller little nuggets of 5 to 10 minutes, 10 to 20, 30 at most is like way more. You're going to feel better and feel less guilty.
That's why I like my stationary bike.
Yeah.
And like what I did was,
and it's low impact, which is great for your knees.
I found, I think it was on, Prime had all 15 seasons of Supernatural.
Yep.
So I started at season one. And I biked for the duration of one episode.
That's perfect.
Then I would stop, get myself cleaned up, fill my water bottle. I drink an excessive amount of water. No, I'm not diabetic. They've checked. I just enjoy drinking water.
That's so great.
I drink about 75 ounces of water a day.
Fantastic.
I fill my water bottle, then I go and I watch some more Supernatural. But that's my habit. So my bike riding will be anywhere from 35 to 49 minutes, depending on the length of the episode.
Mm-hmm. That's the perfect way to do it, because then you don't really feel it so much then.
Well, that, like, and I'm watching Supernatural. I'm not really paying attention to the fact that I'm peddling my ass off.
I'm saying that's what I meant, where it's like you're not focused on the fact where you're like, oh my God, it's only 5 minutes in. Christ, I'm never going to make it. Like, it's why I listen to an audiobook, so that way then it's like, okay, I'm still continuing my story. My mind goes vividly into that. Excuse me. Or I listen to music that will, like, spark a storyline in my own head, and then I make up this elaborate fantasy that I'm going through where I'm like, sweet, I'm off swinging on vines in a jungle. I'm not in my kitchen on the elliptical. I'm like, I am Indiana Jones. I got this.
I use work as my exercise. and I still don't lose weight.
That's because our bodies are used to doing that torment where it's like, okay, well, we're here. Our body's like, ugh, don't wanna.
Well, I gotta constantly lift those skids of paper.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's a workout in itself for 8 hours, just lifting all that paper. And twisting and turning and walking, like, to and from breaks. And
I'm always, I was just going to say, like, that's the days that I'm on cutters are the days that I'm always hungrier, just because of the lifting. And, like, the worst days are when Peanut's seen me when I'm doing the, what the hell are they called? The magnets. When I'm getting to lift them and shove them into the press, then print them, then lift them out of the press, then lift them onto the cutter, and then I have to ship them all out. When I'm doing all of the things, by the end of the day, I'm like, I'm going to eat someone's small child at this rate because I'm hungry.
Well, it doesn't even necessarily make me more hungry or anything like that. It tires me out, of course, by the end of the day. But, I mean, I just, even for, like, I don't know, like, I do that as my exercise and I still can't lose weight. I've had personal trainers before. I belonged to gyms and worked my ass off. I remember I was like, my husband would like go, or ex-husband would like go, we both joined the gym and I had like an actual trainer that made a program for me and I'd go work my ass off. Like, my program was like twice as hard as what his was. He like went and lift two weights and then at Taco Bell and lost 5 pounds. And I'm like on this treadmill for an hour, that weights, ate a salad, and I gained 5 pounds.
Welcome to my world, Peanut.
Jael, I think there, I mean, and this is a discussion for probably off camera at some point if you want to discuss more, but it's sometimes it's not necessarily about you losing the weight, but maybe there, because you seem like you have a very physical job. So you're getting lots of functional movement there. I mean, for you, it just might be finding something to complement what you're doing because you have a very heavy labor job. That doesn't mean you should go home and pick up a bunch more weights. Like, I would be curious to see if there was something else. We don't have to talk about it right now, but if, what else could be helpful for you to kind of support you, but also you have PCOS, you said that, right? So
yes.
I want you to keep that at the forefront. That can definitely impact weight, but instead,
and an underactive thyroid as well.
Bingo. So, like, instead of thinking of it as why am I not losing weight, this might be the body that you have, but instead working to make that body that you have not about the weight loss, but how can we make it stronger to support the body you have, not the body you're trying to get? Because I think if you think of it that way, even if you lose weight, or sorry, let's say you gain weight, you're probably going to gain some badass muscles. So, like, I think it's instead of worrying about the weight loss, which again, that's can be very upsetting and stressful and not good for your mentals. It's more like, what can I do to support the body that I have and maybe gain some muscle and put on some weight? Because putting on weight is also a good thing. And regardless of your size, I mean, shit, you could gain like 10 pounds a pounds of muscle mass. So
I am pretty muscular. I have been my whole life, like, as far as like when I was even when I first got diagnosed with my polycystic and that, because when I was young, I was way more active when I was younger because we played outside and stuff and rode bikes everywhere. I remember one time when I was working and the one lady at work or something poked me in like my side or something. And she's like, oh my God, you're fucking solid. And it's like, yeah, like, thanks. I don't want to be solid. But I mean, yeah, I know the polycystic. The only thing that has ever actually worked as far as losing weight is eating keto. And that's very hard to sustain.
That's right, because the reality is, and I'd like to put it out there for listeners, I am not a registered dietitian, so what advice I'm about to give is more general, and again, I would recommend anybody listening go see a specialist, but I would say that there's a reason that these keto, these FODMAP, there's a lot of different types of diets out there, gluten-free, celiac, vegetarian, whatever it is. There's a reason they're not really sustainable, because It, unless you're truly going to commit to a lifelong thing, especially if you have serious underlying health issues or bone density issues, whatever, it's like they're temporary. They're not necessarily a sustainable practice. So instead of focusing on like, I'm just not going to eat carbs, I'm just not going to eat processed sugars or whatever, it would be just very interesting instead to eat a little bit more and just continuing to find other things to help support you rather than always on the eat less, exercise more, eat the salad, go vegetarian. Like I eat bread. I eat potato chips. God damn it.
I would die without potato chips. I don't eat a lot of bread.
You don't honestly have to get rid of them.
I am not a bread person. Hardly ever eat bread. I've cut way back on pastas and rices, and I'm not like a big cereal person and stuff like that. I never have been I'm not a big dairy person either. And that
Dana just looks mortified.
I'm trying to figure out what the fuck you eat.
$12
exactly,
steaks.
Right?
She probably needs to eat more. I think the biggest misconception is people don't eat enough. Like Taylor said, I'm starving at the end of my shift. Yeah, no duh, because you're working really hard. Oh, so yeah. You want to eat to replenish. And I think we all of us women specifically seem to always feel like we need to run on half empty. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a huge problem. Again, going back to body shaming and body image issues, is we're always told eat less, exercise more, eat less, exercise more. But what if we just ate more? I'm not saying like go out and like house 70 pizzas a day, although that does sound really fun. But what if we were just eating a little bit more? And just continuing to move as it made us feel good. I don't know.
I find for me, it's a mental thing, I find it very uncomfortable and hard to eat in front of other people.
Yep, I can understand and relate to that.
I feel like I'm being definitely judged, especially being like more heavy. Because like people sometimes are heavy because they have medical issues and they have other issues, and it's not necessarily because they eat like a bunch of junk food or they eat a lot of food, but people see somebody that's overweight and they just assume right away that you eat a lot and you eat a lot of junk. And so I have that. And my mom, I grew up, my mother was anorectic and bulimic, and I just have a really, I feel very uncomfortable eating in front of people. I feel like they are absolutely judging what I'm eating and how much I'm eating.
Right there with you.
There's a lot of the times for those of us that are bigger, it tends to be because we've gone through all the yo-yo diets, and it's normally 9 times out of 10, it's because we don't eat enough. Because we've been told for our entire lifetimes. I mean, think about it, like back in the 90s, especially where it was, oh, well, just have a couple Cobb salads each day and you'll be fine. You'll be as thin as Jennifer Aniston. Like, no, that's not how that actually works. You actually need more fuel in your body, because if you don't have enough fuel in your body goes into starvation mode. And that's where we Say, yeah. Exactly. And that's where our bodies, once we've been in starvation mode, that's where our bodies get more and more comfortable, because we do all of those diets. Like, even for whenever, because I have a couple exes that did the keto diet, and they're like, oh yeah, this is so healthy. I've lost a lot of weight. I've gained muscle tone. And I've told them before, it's like, you do realize it's not meant to be. Like, it's actually damaging to your body if you do it long term. It's not meant to be long term, because the reason why it was first created was for people who had cancer, because it takes out all of the sugars, which is what feeds the cancer. So if you don't have sugar, it doesn't feed the cancer. It shrinks it. You get better. It's not meant for a lifetime long diet, because your body's not meant to live off of fat like that. Well, but few people know that. And like, it damages instead.
Like, when we're talking to, like, about muscles and stuff, like, when, like, I was 14 and I first, like, right from my first period, I started having issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and back then, of course, there wasn't, they didn't know what polycystic really was. It was just a hormone imbalance is what they called it. And I was like 14 and I weighed about 120 pounds. And you go to the doctor and he's like, if you lose weight, it'll straighten out. I'm 120 pounds.
Well, like, so many of the doctors use the body mass index, and they just go, well, okay, here you go. You weigh 120 pounds. Like, yes.
But I was very muscular.
I was going to say, but that's the issue, is that those things don't account for muscle mass. So when I worked at Curves, one of the things that they did differently was there was a machine that we had that would send frequencies up your arm and come back and say, okay, you are 120 pounds. However, 45 or 49% of that is actually muscle mass. The rest, mm-hmm. then you have another, whatever, 10% is bone mass, whatever. So it would do all that and say, so you actually only have, whatever, 30% of fat mass. So you're actually in a healthy range. You might need to lose another percent, and that's it.
I was a tomboy. I was, like, climbing trees. I was, like, all my cousins and people that lived around me were boys. So I was doing, if a boy could do it, I freaking could do it.
Oh, hell yeah.
So this chick was a tomboy. I ran from morning till night, rode my bike wherever I had to go. We swam. We climbed trees. We did everything. I'm built like my dad. And I had a lot of a muscle. And that, but like, you're 14 years old, right? During the most impressionable part of your life, and you're 120 pounds, and a doctor tells you to lose weight. And then mm-hmm. it was just the same, here's some birth control and lose weight. And that has been my whole life dealing with my polycystic, because I was never actively trying to get pregnant. So it was, here's some birth control and lose weight.
Yep.
Well, your metabolism sounds like it needs to be rebooted mm-hmm. a little bit, because Taylor mentioned, you know, so engrossed in what Joelle was saying. Hold on. No, what happens is when you start, you're not eating enough to fuel yourself, and you get into the starvation state, you stop producing the necessary things to help you lose the weight. So if you're, I'm serious, and I'm not doing this to make anybody feel bad, so I apologize, because I'm here to support you, but I'm giving you a little dose that.
Dana's just sitting there. She's like, oh God, I'm being seen this episode.
And I speak from experience. I think Joelle, you had popped off for a second. I struggled with an eating disorder as a dancer all of my life I'm now recovered, but, the starvation is real. And honestly, you're doing more harm to your body. And if anything, you're probably going to gain weight. So eat more. I mean, talk to a specialist, talk to an RD, or like talk to somebody who can help, you know, go through your metabolic testing and like get you on the right track. But chances are, I'm just going to take a guess that some of you are probably not eating enough. Just a mm-hmm. little, because it sounds like y'all got the movement stuff down, but it just sounds like you're just not supporting and nourishing yourself enough. And it's scary to eat in front of people. I still get a little bit scared to do it. And I found the only way that's helped me get over my fear is if you can sit with somebody that you trust. That may not mm-hmm. always be the case, but if like Taylor's there, like eating with somebody helped me get over the fear of eating alone, if that makes sense. Someone mm-hmm. you feel safe with, who can give you that reassurance when you're feeling a little bit like, oh, someone's judging me. You know, like even in the dance environment now, like every once in a while, I have to stop myself because I'll be at, be lunch break for rehearsal because we'll be in rehearsal all day. And I'll look around and like, I'm not the thinnest dancer anymore. I'm in my 30s and my body doesn't look the same because I'm not starving myself anymore. So it's interesting because I'll look around and I'll have like a nice meal with like all my little things to help me before I go back into rehearsal. And then somebody will be eating like a bowl of rice with beans in it or something. And I used to be so insecure about, oh, well, I'm eating like half a sandwich with like a cheese stick and some almonds. And even though I know that's going to satiate me and get me through the rest mm-hmm. of my day so I don't collapse, I can't help but compare myself because I've always been told eat less or you're going to, you know, be the fat dancer, you know?
I imagine it'd be very like dancing would be very mentally hard as for body, for especially for like body image and having to be like thin and toned and I would imagine that'd be a very competitive.
Depends what type of dance you go into. I was a professional ballerina earlier in my career and it was aggressive. And any ballet company who says they don't have eating disorder issues is fucking lying to you. Pardon my French, but it's a real issue. And one of the things I'm still struggling to see, and I know y'all are familiar with social media, Dancing with the Stars. So you think mm-hmm. dance, whatever. But specifically in the ballet world, there are still no plus sized or full figured women in pristine ballet companies like American Ballet Theatre, New York City Ballet, San Francisco, like any of those big ballet names, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't see it. And it's a shame because I know so many full figured women and curvaceous women who can do and throw down and do all the things that those other women can, but they always get overlooked by somebody who might just look a little smaller. And it's not to shame those that are thin because some people actually are just naturally thin. And there are ballet dancers that are training 20 hours a day, like all week, like every day. So their metabolism is just, mm-hmm. you know, craving it. But yeah, so ballet is pretty aggressive. And then when you spread out and ballroom can be, depending on if you're in the competitive environment, it just depends what route you're going. You go into something like maybe like hip hop or breaking or something like that. It's a totally different subset of body image issues, like where they might want you a little bit thicker or, you know, you have to have that. If you want to go into the music video route, you got to look a certain way for that. So there's all these sick, twisted image issues within the subsets of like all the different types of dance.
I noticed, I think it was last season or the last time I think You Can Dance was on that they, was it that or was it, I can't remember. There was a show with Jennifer Lopez as the judge too.
Oh, yes. I know which one you're talking about.
And they had a guy on there that was heavier set. And he was amazing. He was absolutely amazing. He, like, could do just what everybody else could do. And you didn't expect it. Like, right? Because when you think, like, dancer, you think it's somebody that's really toned and stuff, which, mm-hmm. again, is probably, like, not good on my part. Like, I'm thinking the typical stereotype and stuff, right? But, oh, my God, it was so, like, awesome to watch him. And that, because he had such talent. He was so amazing. And I think he was more of a contemporary dancer, but he had to do other styles too. And he did them and he picked them up. And he didn't win, but he should have, I thought. And he went pretty far.
See, I would say, I'm glad that, because it was funny, because I was just about to ask Amy about the mental struggles specifically in the dance world, just because I know, and it's funny because you also brought up the ballerinas, and I know those, that is the worst one out there for the mental health and for the eating and the body shaming, just because they are so hard on themselves and so ridiculously hard on each other for it. Just because my mom, when she was way younger, did ballet and did tap dance and a couple other things. And she hated ballet just because it was so, you have to look a certain way. And it's one of those things where I've seen it touched on. I can remember the episode of, The Simpsons. Back when I was a kid, they touched on it where they showed Lisa joining it and all the ballerinas as kids even eating like, I'm trying to think, like a cheese stick at most, and then having a cigarette to make sure that they weren't eating. And it was one of those things where when you pay attention, it's like, yeah, they can put on absolutely gorgeous ballets and beautiful dancing and all this stuff. But then the moment that they go off stage, they're like horrible human beings because they just sit there and they're like, okay, well, they're not being fed. They're being starved. They have nicotine withdrawal. And then you're making them do dancing for 100 hours a week where you're like, you've created a monster at that point.
Yeah, it's a pretty intense industry beyond the fact that you have to audition out of yes to get anything. And got to know people, and part of it is just connections. It's and it's funny because we have all these new body movements coming through, and it's great and all, but I have yet to see in certain fields the shift in the bodies that are being welcomed, like Joyelle said. Like, I think that there is still a major disconnect between bringing all bodies in. Assuming they're, of course, they have to be up to level to be, in the company, but there is a lack of diversity still. We're finally getting it for people of color. Thank God it took fucking forever. But now I want to see it in the bodies, too, because it's like Joyelle said, there are so many talented dancers out there who just may not look like the stereotypical norm, who just don't get an opportunity because they just, if they have their choice between the thick chick and the thin chick, unfortunately, they're going to probably always pick the thin one. And that's really terrible.
So can we have a thick week?
A thick week?
Yeah.
You know, I like it.
Like Pride week? We have a thick week.
Why don't we have a thick month?
Yeah, see, that would be amazing. That would be, oh my God, talk about a really good way to be able to celebrate Pride for thick people. All the
T-H-I-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C-C.
We thick.
And thick thighs we trust.
Yes. And thick thighs, they save lives.
Oh. Yeah. I agree.
That would be amazing to have. Just to, especially for trying to get like the younger generations to be more accepting of it, where it's like, okay. Just because you're thicker doesn't mean that you can't do things. Like, you thick, you can probably lift up all the same things and probably heavier things than those thin people out there. They're like, all right, come here. Lift the 5 thin people. Show off your muscles and be like, yep, I got these bitches on my shoulder. It's good. Look at them all.
I think that the other thing I've learned, and maybe you guys can relate to this in your own daily lives too, is that one of the lessons I'm trying to hold on to is that most of the time, like in dance class, I'll do dance classes as an example, or at the gym, you think that everyone's staring at you and judging you. And guess what? They don't give a fuck about you because they are so self-absorbed with what they look like and what they're doing.
And yes,
that is the truth of the matter. Not always. I mean, there are some judgy people out there who are staring. Yeah. We all know it. But for the most part, any fears that you're having about what you're eating or what you're doing at the gym, or, oh my God, someone's judging me, or they're not. They're so scared or of their own issues, or taking their little Instagram videos, like whatever. Like, chances are they're not looking at you because they don't care, because as humans, we are all self-absorbed. Sorry. It's just how it is.
Oh, no, so. I completely agree. Just because, like, my cousin and I have talked about that before, where she's like, I go to the gym. She's like, I look like a hot, sweaty pig. And I'm like, oh, the sexiness that's just rolling off of you. She's like, I look disgusting when I'm done. She's like, I couldn't give two shits. But she's like, but then you have fucking the dumb airheads over here, Barbie, who comes in with the push-up bra, the little short shorts, and goes, with her little
wipes the sweat from her brow. Yeah,
exactly. And then just looks over at whatever freaking muscle man that she's trying to lure into her cavewoman cave. She's like, come home with me, I don't know how to cook.
Yep.
It's like, yep. Those ones, they really don't care. And if they're going to be judgy, they're going to sit there and be judgy all they want. Realistically, you can know that they're judging themselves way harsher.
And they usually are. That's the thing. People who fit the stereotypical, stupid, whatever image out there we're supposed to look like, who the fuck cares? Those people are probably the most insecure and struggling the most in so many different manners. So.
Oh, God, yeah. Their mental state is... I'd say like 9 times out of 10, worse than the rest of ours, where we already struggle as it is. And they get to that point where they're like, they are nitpicking everything about themselves, that they're just at that point. And then, of course, you have those that are the narcissists. They're like, I am perfection.
Yeah, those two. There are people who are very proud of themselves and good for them. Mm-hmm. But it, more often than not, if you're ever feeling down about yourself or what you look like or what you're doing or not doing, just know that the people that you're comparing yourself to are probably also struggling very deeply as well.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
And that's and then that's why there we need to really make a shift with how we're treating the word body image.
Yeah.
What was that?
Oh my God. Okay, we've gone an hour, 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, there we go. I'm like, why didn't she just go 11? Like, what?
I thought she was doing jazz hands. Just kidding.
Be like, no, that's Grace.
That's
Taylor. Jack.
That's Taylor.
That's magic fingers. Fingers.
Yeah, we're just going to Vogue here. We're doing all, it's such a good thing that people can't see our videos while we're and they're listening to this. What are they doing? And Vogue, and Vogue, and Vogue. And
pick your favorite, pick your favorite Voguer. That's what we're doing right now.
Oh my God. Yeah. Could you imagine if they could see the video of you laughing for 5 minutes and not breathing?
Breathe, Taylor, breathe.
Like right look, now.
I was sleep deprived. Okay. Oh. That was some funny shit that day. I don't even know.
Oh, I thought you meant you were sleep deprived now. I'm like, you've been off all week. Like,
it's been amazing. It's voguing. It's voguing. It's voguing. Says the woman who doesn't work.
Shut your mouth.
Listen, she's here working right now. God damn it.
Actually, to be fair, we've made her work this week with the podcast stuff.
I had to go to the hospital twice this week.
Effort.
So there, and oh, you know,
twice
I parked and I had to walk. Joelle knows the walk
effort.
Yeah,
yeah. Taylor, be a little nicer.
Jeez,
the struggles.
Hashtag first world struggle.
But hashtag movement, bringing it back, sir, full circle. Hashtag movement.
There we go. That's going to be my hashtag for this week when I do the when we post the thing on the thing.
Hashtag first world problems.
Hashtag first world movement.
There we go. And the chaos comes back like usual.
I just
welcome
hope
to
people,
the Thunderdome.
I just hope people will find ways to better support themselves instead of being worried about everybody else, because. Mm-hmm. It's a really, the world is pretty fragile right now for a lot of different things going on. So just, I hope people listen to this and can find a little bit more peace with themselves, or at least find something to give themselves a little bit more love, because we're way too hard on ourselves. So go eat that cookie and, you know, have that sip of water and just be okay. It's okay to be, just be, you don't have to be body positive. You don't have to hate your body, but just being okay with where you are, but knowing it might shift.
Enjoy that human-sized, what do you call it? Blizzard.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Dana's just like, I want a blizzard now.
I do.
Wait, do you guys have Dairy Queens there?
Oh, yeah.
Dana had her first blizzard in her life a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Which flavor?
There's a lot of chocolate and brownies in it. It was really good. had they tested my sugar after that, it probably would have been high in the 40s.
Why aren't you in a coma? I don't know. I'm too awake to be in a coma.
It was delicious.
It's a spiritual experience, isn't it?
Oh.
And now I'm like, and so that was it that same week, ladies?
Yes, it was the next day.
It was like, 2 days later.
my husband had been saying all summer long, we're going to have blizzards. We're going to have blizzards. And he never went and got them. So after I had it, and of course I can't tell him that I've had a blizzard now at this point, because this is supposed to be something we share together.
Yeah, just for the record, Joyelle and I took her blizzard virginity, just so everyone out there knows.
So a couple days after we have this, it was a nice sized blizzard. I think it was a medium.
Yep.
We decide to have Dairy Queen for dinner. All right, you know, he goes and he says, I'll pick up blizzards. I'm like, yes. He comes home with literally the smallest blizzard I've ever seen. I'm like, I'm telling Taylor and Joyelle, I'm like, this thing is made for an Oompa Loompa. It's like this big.
She was so mad. If you people could have been in the chat at that point in time, you would have been pissing yourselves laughing like I was, because the amount of anger in the words. And she was like, this is made for an Oompa Loompa, but I can't tell them I know the size differences.
Exactly. I could be all like, why didn't you get the medium? Because then you'd be like, how do you know about the medium?
I know this isn't the normal size.
Did he get everybody the same size?
Yeah.
Oh, at least he was consistent then.
Yeah, it was only him, Brandon, and I. My mom had a cherry shake because she is diabetic.
I think you should get a blizzard today, Joyelle. Sorry, Dana. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it is too.
I was going to say, I think that's in my future today now. I want that freaking the hot chocolate one. Oh, my God. It's so goddamn good.
Is it good?
It's Brandon,
Had the Oreo, the mint Oreo one.
Mm.
And he let me try it. Oh, my God. If I didn't love my son, I would have killed him and ate it myself.
The moment where you're... when you're looking at him with a spoon and you're like, I want to shiv this through your eye so bad.
That and he's 21 and, 10 inches taller than me.
Take him out at the kneecaps. Take him out at the kneecaps.
Things one will do for an Oreo.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not going to be for the Klondike bar. What would you do for a blizzard? I will shiv my son.
I would. I don't have a kid, but I would.
I went a little healthy. I went a little healthy with the strawberry cheesecake.
My
strawberry.
I had roots.
There was some strawberry in there somewhere.
Good job.
Didn't we just have this whole discussion about not putting shame on food?
It's too late for us. Move on, society. Leave us behind. We're just going to have the Hunger Games for blizzards.
I volunteer as tribute.
Watch how all of the heavyset people are going to be running out. It's mine. Just a complete massacre on the field. What was it for? The mint Oreo. I got it.
I heard on a podcast it was delicious.
And that was how the purge began.
Wait, we need to get Dana a partnership with Dairy Queen now.
I was just going to say, we don't just need Taco Bell. We also need Dairy Queen. Yes. We're going to be like, guys, listen, we will talk about the chalupa for you, and then we're going to talk about all the blizzards for you.
Dairy yes, Queen, if you're listening, sponsor Dana, please.
I did, I don't know, Dana, the other night after work, after my appreciation dinner, that wasn't that was nothing. I stopped and I at Taco Bell and I tried that new bacon, chicken bacon club, chalupa. Uh-huh. Holy shit, was that good.
Was it?
No, it was so good.
Bitch, I want nachos now.
It was so better. It was better than my like palm sized corn tortilla with about a teaspoon of chicken and I think half a teaspoon of salsa in it.
They didn't even give you like barbacoa beef. They gave you chicken.
Yeah,
it was chicken. In a taco.
Yeah, I don't even think there was cheese in it.
It was so disgusting. I was going to say, I heard from several people. I got all the pictures, and then I heard from others. They're like, it's disgusting. It was like eating sawdust. And I think it's trying to make a run for the exit now already. I'm like, it's been 5 minutes. She was like, it's leaving. It's already leaving.
The topper was the no-name ice cream bar. Handing them out right out of the no-name box. I went, we have gone downhill.
Is this at your work?
Yes. They used to give us amazing meals. Like when they would have appreciation day.
They were top end. Like, yeah, like Thanksgiving, good.
Christmas. We'd have pizza days. And they were like, they spent a good chunk of money on them.
Were either of you two there when they did the pasta dinner?
Yes. Yeah.
They had like the big things of pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And then the salad. And you got pasta and salad and a bun.
Yes.
They don't do that no more either.
No.
No. Now you get sawdust.
Yep.
And bamboo utensils.
I was just saying bamboo utensils. So
that's where all the money's going.
Them.
Yeah.
Fuck your food. Here's bamboo. Went
downhill. The drink was the best part of it. They should have gave us a pitcher. Yeah, they should have gave us like a pitcher of that shit. It was good.
What was it?
I don't know what it was a cranberry one. They get a cranberry and grenadine and some kind of, I think maybe lemon lime pop or something in it.
I was going to say, it was like, was it that weird? Like it had the different layers of colors to it again?
No, not this one. But they did have that one, like an orange juice and grenadine or something. I think one, that one had different layers, but I went for just the straight red one. It was good. They should have gave us a picture of it.
They're like, here, we're just tossing some tequila. That'll make the things better for you.
They should have had some horchata, too.
I said what they should have did is, like, gave us, like, a salad, right? Because they didn't even have, like, a normal salad. Like, you know, they usually just have it, like, pre-mixed and yummy and stuff. It wasn't even. It was like, build your own salad. But they didn't give you enough room in the container to build your own salad. And then they should have gave us like some rice, like maybe some Mexican rice and some refried beans. And stuff. Like, that would have been
getting greedy.
I guess. I mean, how much could refried beans and rice cost?
They're cheap for much. A reason.
It's somebody's Christmas bonus. Just know that.
You're not wrong.
Oh.
But, anywho. I mean, they didn't have to do it, so.
They didn't have to give us the sawdust, so we appreciate them.
Oh. Very true. All right.
Oh.
But I was hungry afterwards, anyway.
And then she rewarded herself with Taco Bell, who should give us a sponsorship.
Yeah. Oh, it was good. That chalupa was. I like the normal chalupa, but that was a good chalupa.
Never tried the chalupa, so maybe I have a.
Do it.
You know, you don't even have to put anything in it. Just give me the fried bread.
Oh my God, yes. It is like, when it's freshly made and you bite into it and then it's just like, I need a minute.
Guys, this is one of the few times I wish I was like a big fitness influencer because I could have totally gotten us a Taco Bell or a Dairy Queen sponsorship, but so sorry.
We'll work on it. We'll work our way up to it. Be like, yeah, guys.
There's certain things like the fry bread from Taco Bell. I think KFC should sell buckets of skin and shots of gravy.
I'll tell you why they can't sell buckets of skin. Because they use the fucking skin to make the gravy. I've worked there. I know this.
I have so many questions.
I was saying, just dip it into there and make the gravy, then take it out and fry it real fast.
No, I told my mom, because she was like, I love their gravy. I'm like, do you know how they make it? She's like, do I want to know? I'm like, I'm telling you anyways. So,
don't ruin it for me, Dana.
When they fry the chicken, it's in this big, big, huge vat. Every night at closing, they take the oil out. And in the oil pan is a screen and then a bottom. So the oil comes out and it catches the screen, stops the particles from going through. Mm-hmm. And then the oil comes out clean.
Mm.
They lift that screen up and they put it in a bag. Into a bag. When that bag gets full enough, they take that stuff and they dump it into the large tureen, put water in it, and the gravy makes it stir it up and eat it.
I don't care. I love it.
There's your gravy from KFC.
I don't care. Oh. You know, when I was growing up, like, I don't eat KFC hardly ever anymore. But when we were growing up, well, we didn't eat a lot growing up either. It was a specialty. But
same.
When we used to get, like, you know, get it, and there'd be chicken left over, the bucket of chicken left over in that, right? And then, like, later on, my dad and that would go to get pieces of chicken, and all the skin would be eaten off of it. I would go in and just tear the skin off and eat it because it was so good. And he'd be so fucking pissed off because all the chicken had no skin.
And it dries out when it doesn't have its skin.
I know, it's not good without the skin.
She's like, I don't care, I just wanted the skin. It's like me when I eat the... We grabbed pizza probably a few weeks ago from Oven 360. And it was a perfectly done pizza.
Never had that.
You've never had Oven 360?
Mm-mm.
Oh, peanut.
Wood-fired thin crust pizza.
It is so good. They sell it at Sobeys, too.
Yeah. Oh,
it's not the same. Oven 360, so much better. We will fix this. We've gotten her Blizzard popped, and now it's time for your Oven 360 popped. But it was the perfectly done crust. So... my mom's friend Kelly was over. We had our pieces. Then I went into the kitchen and I had a little nibble off of one more piece as I was putting it away. And then I just started ripping off the crust off of every single piece. And I ate all of the crusts that were left over. And then I put them into the fridge. And while I was at work the next day, all of a sudden I get this angry text from Mama. Who the fuck ate all of the crust, huh?
Monster.
I was like, I don't know who did that. Is it Kelly? Oh, she's a bitch. She's like, Kelly never went into the kitchen. I'm like, are you sure? Maybe we just have a mouse that only likes crust.
On that note, we should wrap things up.
yes, we will.
We really got off topic there for the last 20 minutes.
We're trying desperately to get some sort of sponsorship from any of these food places.
If you work for any of those conglomerates, please reach out to us. If not, what we're going to do is we're going to start emailing them our episodes where they're mentioned.
Twitter is a good platform. We could try Twitter. Twitter's a very good platform. Their social medias are usually on point, so...
That's true. There we go.
That's true.
You're on it. You got this, Dana.
You know what? I'm gonna
yes.
Dairy Queen them. Taco Bell. I got this.
You got this. All eyes are on you. Don't fuck it up.
Sounds like RuPaul.
Perfect.
Don't fuck this up.
A bucket of skin is coming my way.
On that note, we're going to bid you all a fond farewell. Thank you, Amy, for being on the show this week.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on here, and I got to see your beautiful face. Got to hang out with you twice this week. Fuck yeah.
So, on a side note, you guys may notice that our episodes start going in a different direction. We still will be talking about mental health issues, but it's going to be more related into everyday life. And we're going to start doing like movie reviews, book reviews, and just general chat about life in itself. And not just like one little condensed topic. So we hope you stick with us for our new chapter, journey. Quote, journey. Our trip down the dirt road, if you will. So have a wonderful week ahead. Talk to you all next week.
Ciao.
Oh, bye.